us up
a covenant
way,
nature, but he's
so I now stand in a place where I don't have to give it authority in my life.
Lord, that you would speak
if you're
to
in
our
covenant with it,
we
have
I have been teaching out of that
rash as
practically applied
young.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you've learned how to
for
have
our salvation.
Anger.
Smile on your face. Back to that one again.
Lord, not just at
I mean?
The end of this life, but the saving of our thoughts, the saving
the
of our emotions, the saving of our will now. So Lord, we bless you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I got going this week. The Lord woke me up with basically what I'm teaching on this morning. I think it was Monday morning or Tuesday morning, early. And then, I don't know why I did it, but I ended up studying all these other things. Friday came and I set my office from, I think I studied from 5 o'clock that morning till probably 3 or 4 that afternoon, just, and I was baked by the time I got done. And then yesterday by last night, God took me back to where he started with me on Monday or Tuesday morning. You'd think I would get the hint and remember, but, anyway, it doesn't matter how great the teaching, doesn't matter how deep the theology or how great the doctrine. If we don't know how to practically apply it, it's worthless. It doesn't matter how great it may seem to be or how profound. If we don't know how to practically apply it, we got nothing. It does us no good. So that's really what I want to talk about this morning. It kind of ended there last week. For those of you that were here, Crystal said, how do you do that? Yes, and here she comes through the door right now. It was the how do you do that? Okay, this is my situation. It continues to happen. What do I do? And I woke up Monday morning and what I heard first thing was repentance. I think I woke up in the middle of the night. You come out of this deep sleep, but it was like all of a sudden I just had this thought. We've been talking about spiritual authority and we all related with basically this last week and using my kids as an example. Everybody that was here, showing how these things out of Ephesians 6, the rulers, the authorities, and the world mights or the world dominions, and how that functions, and how so often we're going at other people. I use my family as an example, but we go at other people that our circumstances are around, and Scripture is telling us that that's not where it's at, that it's here. We've been given authority in Christ to come against the world dominions, to come against the authorities, and to come against the originals or the sovereignties. And it lays out this hierarchy and how often we get caught up in this. And when you do, how do you get back on the right track again? How do you start walking in authority again? This isn't something where I can all of a sudden recognize, well, there's anger there and pride there and fear there. These things have an authority to do what they're doing. How do I start removing that authority that they have, and how do I start walking in the God-given authority so that I can come against them? Does that make sense? I'm trying to get this all situated in my brain and where we're going to take off from, but there's a problem because these don't just come at my kids. Okay, I'm going to kind of continue with that example. They're coming at me also. Any parent in here ever struggle with anger? Well, I am in the right place because now it's your turn to teach me. Because sometimes I do. Okay. Anybody ever compromise? Right. We're in the right place. Anybody ever have any pride as a parent? Never. Pride never got in the way of parenting. Man, I really came to the right place because I got a problem with all of these. The jealousy, the fear. No parent has ever had fear. Right. The strife. We know how to divide and conquer our kids. I had to learn quick. I got 7 of them in my house. The quickest way to win, if they're all in unity, look out. Divide and conquer. And it's on, right? The problem is, I mean, we can all kind of relate to it, but I want to go back to a very basic principle of covenant. Everything in the Spirit is done by authority. If those spirits of darkness are coming against me as a Christian, if they're coming against me, they have an authority to do so. Okay? It has to be by authority. And that authority in the Spirit is given by covenant. So some of the basic things that we studied, I've hit on occasionally. It's been a while since we talked about this. The basics of covenant is two become one. Husband and wife. Scripture says that two shall be one. They become one flesh in marriage, okay? Two people in covenant become one. Make sense? So you have, I'll just use anger. How about, here's me, and here's the spirit of anger. Anything I look to for provision, protection, or identity, I covenant with it. If I use anger to protect myself, if I use anger to provide for myself, if I take it on as identity to become one, and there's my identity. The problem is, I've given an authority. As soon as I look to that spirit, and it can be jealousy, it can be strife, it can be any of those other things we had on the other page. If I use that to defend myself, if I use that to provide for myself, if I use it in a selfish way, I'm entering into covenant with that spirit. I've become one with it. I've given it authority in my life. And it doesn't matter. So I get saved, and if I've depended on anger my whole life to defend myself, and suddenly I get saved, I've given it authority. So I want to live for Christ. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to respond in anger. But every time I turn around, I am hammered with it. Why? Because I gave it an authority in my life. I used it. I gave it life in my life. Make sense? And we've all done it. It isn't a matter of finding fault. It's a matter of how do I remove its authority in my life. I continue to struggle with it, and the longer I walk in that anger, and the more I use it to defend myself or to provide, the deeper its roots of authority and the more power it has in my life. It doesn't matter what you're doing, it still has an authority. How do we deal with that? I know that's not who Christ created me to be. I've given in to a false identity. I've given an authority, and in that I'm now living in a false identity that God never created me to be in. I'm worshiping false gods. Make sense? We can put it a bunch of different ways. We've seen this in the tabernacle. We've seen this in a lot of different ways over the past few years. And it really took me back to just some basic things that we started teaching over 4 years ago. In the covenant. If I'm in covenant with anger, the spirit of anger, because I use it to defend myself, there's only one way back out of that. And it starts with repentance. I have to repent. And it's, where'd my paper go? It's over here. So I want to talk a little bit about repentance this morning and walk us through how do I get free from that. Okay, anybody else interested in being free from anger? Being free from being able, every time you feel like you have to defend yourself, here comes the anger. And the anger's like, here, let me take care of that for you. You know what I mean? It's like you can be totally peaceful, everything's fine, and all of a sudden somebody says something, and as soon as you feel threatened, anger pops its head up there and goes, hey, let me take care of that. I'm really good at this. And whammo, you're saying things you don't want to say, you're doing things you don't want to do, and it's all because you've given an authority in your life. Everybody's following that, right? Let's talk about repentance for a minute. 2 Corinthians 7, if you want to turn there. Please tell me you have your Bibles. We got spoiled me doing all the overheads, and now we're back in our Bibles again, and I don't hear a whole lot of pages turned. Where's your Bible, Eric? Open that page. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. This is the second letter. The first letter, he's dealing with them with a man who is sleeping with, I'm trying to remember now, I think it's his father's wife, okay, within the church. And he deals with them, and he rebukes them for it and tells them they need to correct the problem. And now in the second letter, he's referring back to that problem again. And I'm not going to go huge into the context, but that's the basic context of what he's writing. There's a principle of repentance in these scriptures. Beginning in verse 9, it says, now I rejoice, not that you were grieved, but that you were grieved to repentance. For you were grieved according to God that you might suffer loss and nothing by us. For the grief, according to God, works repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the grief of the world works death. For behold, the same thing, you being grieved according to God, how much it fully worked earnestness in your life, but also defense, but also indignation, but also fear, but also desire, but also zeal, but also vengeance. In everything you commended yourselves to be clear in the matter. Then even if I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one doing wrong, nor for the sake of the one being wrong, but for the sake of revealing our earnestness on your behalf for you before God. Verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were grieved. That word grieved is sorrow. Is sorrow or sorry. It is made sorry. Okay? He says, now I rejoice. He's found out that they've made the corrections. They did the things that he had said in his first letter, and it was bearing fruit. Okay? They were responding to it, and it was good, the things that he was hearing about it. And he says, now I rejoice. Not that you were sorry. How many times have we done something and you feel sorry for it? Think about this. Are you sorry because you got caught? Are you sorry because of the consequences for it? What's the foundation? What's the motivation? What's the intent of you being sorry? Okay? And that's really what he gets into here. He says, now I rejoice, not that you were sorry, but that you were sorry to repentance. Okay? The word too, it says, but that you were sorry or being made sorry into repentance. So repentance is something we go into. Repentance is the Greek word metanoia. And it means a change of mind, as it appears to one who repents of a purpose he has formed or something he has done. Repentance is a change of mind. It comes, when you follow the root words back, it comes back to meta, M-E-T-A, which denotes, where did it go? A change of place. Or condition. And the second part of it is noeo, which means to exercise the mind or to think. Noeo is to think or comprehend. Okay? So this means a change in the condition of how you think. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in September, I was talking about the last week of September. And said that the scripture, it says to expose, to rebuke, and to exhort. Okay? Expose. This is our problem. Rebuke. Hold it up to the word of God. Okay? To the holiness of God. And then invite. Invite somebody to come into that place, which is the kingdom. Okay? Is everybody following me this morning? All right. This says, but that you were sorry into a change in the condition and the way you think. You can be sorry, back to my kids again. Somebody does something, and we know when we do something wrong, even as kids, okay? We know that we're doing something wrong. You can be sorry just because you got caught. Anybody remember a time in their childhood that they were just sorry just because they got caught? It's like, I'm going to have to learn how to do that one better. That's the kind of attitude we take towards it. You can be sorry because you got caught and now there's consequences and you're grounded for a week. My daughter Jenny is a good example of this. For the most part, not that she's perfect or anything, but for the most part, when Jenny gets caught doing something, repentance comes really easy. All of a sudden, it is this attitude of, it's not about the consequences. She'll beat herself up for it. She'll punish herself. I don't have to do anything. She just is hard on herself that way. But suddenly, that is stemmed out of suddenly she realizes that I'm disappointed in her or her mom is disappointed in her. And it may not even be something that we do or say. It's just all of a sudden she realizes, wait a minute, I've done something that affects my relationship with the other person. And she's broken because of that. And that's the repentance that is talking about in this. Paul's saying, I'm not sorry. I'm not rejoicing because you were just sorry. But I'm rejoicing because you were sorry, and because of that, it was sorrow into repentance. You changed the way you were looking at things because of that sorrow. This is, for you were grieved according to God. This is doing something and not being grieved because you got caught. This is doing something and not, I'm not sorry that I did it because I see my sin in light of Donna's righteousness. This is sorrow that's into repentance because suddenly I see my sin just in the light of who God is. There's godly sorrow. There's where it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It has nothing to do with anybody else's sin. Has nothing to do with anybody else's righteousness. Has nothing to do with anybody else whatsoever. But suddenly I am faced with who I am and what I've done in light of the holiness of God. Godly sorrow that leads into repentance, because it's only in that place that I will change the frame of mind that I'm in. It takes that experience with God before I'm really going to change. All I'm trying to do, what happens if we just get legalistic within the church and it's a bunch of rules, what we do is you break the rules and then it's sorry because I got caught and I let the pastor down. This isn't seeing your sin in light of when confronted, or when it comes out in the light to the pastor and all of a sudden you feel sorry because now the pastor knows. This has nothing to do with that. This is knowing that all things lay naked and open unto Him. All things. You're not getting away with anything. We are not hiding in the shadows, not hiding in the darkness. He's seeing it all. And suddenly when you come into that realization and you realize this has nothing to do with anybody else. This has everything to do with my relationship with God. When that perspective changes, you can't help but humble yourself before God. You can't. It absolutely forces a response out of us. It's not okay if all of a sudden I will recognize God and realize that He is over me, that He is greater than me, and I realize my sin in light of His holiness, I can't help but respond. But I will defend. I will avenge. I will do everything if all I'm doing is seeing my sin in light of someone else. If all I'm doing is comparing my actions compared to yours, I will justify. I will defend them. I'll tell you all day long why I did it and why you shouldn't do what you're doing. And we're really good at it. Aren't we? Dude, don't leave me hanging now. Come on, we were together a minute ago. It's not about comparing ourselves with each other. It's suddenly, if this rattles you, if this is like, oh God, I was doing that, and all of a sudden you found yourself in this and realized that you've given anger or you've given jealousy or you've given those things an authority in your life, and all of a sudden you realize that's not who God created me to be, and it doesn't matter if Logan is that way, it doesn't matter if Val Ann's that way, it doesn't matter if Taylor's that way, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, suddenly I realize I've bowed down to a God that is not the one true God. I came into covenant with the spirit of anger, with the spirit of jealousy. I came into covenant with the things of darkness, and that's not who He created me to be. Amen? It's not about me controlling my anger and just presenting it with a smile on my face. Because we get good at that too. And what we start doing is, I know I can't express my anger the way it becomes so naturally, so I learn how to control the tone of voice and all this stuff, but it's still going on in my heart. Everything that I'm saying is going towards manipulating you to get you to do what I want you to do so that I can be free to do what I want to do. If I can get you to compromise, then I don't feel so bad about what I'm doing anymore. If I can make you mad and you yell a little bit louder than me, then I can justify my attitude in raising my voice. Ooh. Does this make sense? This is the repentance that Paul's talking about. This is the repentance, for you were grieved or you were sorrowed according to God, that you might suffer loss and nothing by us. For grief or sorrow according to God works repentance to salvation. If I have sorrow for my sin, for my anger, in light of who God is, let me get this right. It works repentance or a change of mind that brings me into a place of salvation, which frees me from the anger. It's not salvation going to heaven at the end of my life. It's salvation from the anger that I've been in covenant with and has been tormenting me for ever since I went into covenant with it. Amen? That's the salvation it's talking about. For sorrow, according to God, works repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. But the grief of the world works death, or the sorrow of the world works death. If all I'm doing is seeing my sin in light of yours, that kind of sorrow works death, because I will work it around there to condemn you and to justify why it's okay for me to do that. All I'm doing is working death in every relationship around me until I see my sin in light of the holiness of God. If I'm comparing to someone else, I will blame. If I'm comparing myself to someone else, I will hide in my house so I don't see that other person. Shame. Fear is involved in all of it. And at a certain point when the shame, and I can't hide anymore because I've got to be out in front of people, I got to go to the store, I got to go to church, whatever it may be, I'll begin to blame. And if I'm blaming, there's judgment there, which is a whole other issue. And the blaming leads to self-justification, and truly what I'm doing is worshiping self. I've come into a place of self-worship. And the grace of God functions in that place. Sorry, in my mind, remember the sin chart that we did a couple years ago? We've kind of hit on it a few times. Anybody that's been in my office, I've handed you one. There's several hanging on the refrigerators. That's what I've got in my mind right now. Even in the midst of my self-worship, the grace of God functions and brings me back to my guilt. Brings me back. I can't escape my sin. The only way to be free from the sin is to humble myself before God. Quit worrying about what everybody else is doing. Quit seeing all of that. But repent and be sorrow in light of the holiness of God. There's the repentance. Because in light of that, I can't help but to fall flat on my face and pray for mercy. The expression of that mercy is Jesus Christ on the cross. And in that, now I ask for forgiveness. In the forgiveness, I've now been restored to the place of authority, and I can begin to deal with this in a time of prayer. Everybody follow that? So when I see my sin, I am bowing to the God of anger. I've used that anger to protect myself. I've trusted anger to defend me rather than trusting Jesus to defend me. Think about that one. I'm trying to put this in just a whole bunch of simple ways where it's like, that's what we're doing. Okay? If you respond in anger, if you feel threatened and you respond in anger, you are trusting in anger to defend you instead of trusting in Jesus to defend you. Okay? I can now, when I see that and know that I'm bowing down to false gods, now when I humble myself before God and I ask for forgiveness, in that forgiveness, in what He says to me, and in the forgiveness that He offers me, now authority has been returned to me. If you went home last week and started praying against the very spirits that you are in covenant with, how'd your week go? I guarantee you didn't get anywhere. If you're praying against the same spirits that you have entered into covenant with and used to defend yourself before, you didn't get very far. Okay? Repentance is necessary. We've got to repent. The authority has to be restored. And we've got to take care of these things in the spirit, which means confession, four steps. Confess. I see pens moving. This is good. Remember, the secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that He reveals are for us so that we may fulfill the law, or so that we may fulfill His will. Okay? So if you're sitting here this morning and you realize this is speaking to you in one of these ways that you've entered into covenant with those spirits, there's no condemnation in this. This is all about the saving of the soul. This is all about finding that place of freedom. Practical application. How do you get set free from it? First, your response has to be to God and God alone. Okay? It's not about being worried about Pastor Mike or someone else knowing about your sin. This is about forget everybody else and just get alone with God. Okay? Confession. Lord, I did this. This is between you and Him. Lord, I did this. I've been bowing down to false gods. I've used anger to defend myself. I've trusted in these things. Lord, will you forgive me? Confession and ask for forgiveness. The answer is absolutely key. Okay? You want to hear what Jesus says to you. This is basically what I would walk someone through in a time of face-to-face. face-to-face ministry, you hear me talk about that, is nothing but a prayer ministry. Teach and then practically apply in a time of prayer to be set free from these things. That's all it is. So you don't have to get alone. I'm just saying, even if you're sitting within a group, the prayer is between you and God. What's going on is between you and God. It needs to be out loud, because I guarantee your anger was out loud. Your jealousy was out loud. That's where it came, was through the words of your mouth. You took ownership of it. I am angry. See the ownership? All of a sudden, I've taken on that identity to things. Confess. Ask for forgiveness. The answer is vital, because there's life and there's truth and there's authority in that response. Okay? When the authority has been removed, when the authority has been returned to me, I now have authority over the anger again. And now I can begin to renounce, which means to speak against. Anger, I come against you in the name of Jesus, and you no longer have authority in my life. No longer will you defend me. I die to you. You are not my defense. You are not my identity. You are no longer providing for me in any way. I die to you and you are dead to me. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, I think is what it is. And it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And anger, and it has a list of those things that are members. Our members are upon the earth. These are the members that it's talking about. It's not just the flesh. These are spiritual things that we've taken on as members of us. Okay? This is taking everything to the spirit. Get out of the flesh, and this is handling it in a spiritual way. And the only way that you deal with things in the spirit is in a time of prayer. It's with a confession of your mouth, out loud. You took it on out loud in a vow or something else that you've said. You've got to handle it in a time of prayer out loud and come against it. So you begin to renounce the anger. Anger, you no longer have a hold on me. And it's no longer denying that you have the covenant, but realizing that I was in a covenant of death with it, and you no longer have a hold on me any longer. And I begin to proclaim, I no longer need you to protect me. I am dead to you. You are not my protection any longer. But Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the living God is my defense. He is my protector. He is my provision. He is my identity. And there's a proclamation. So the four steps would be confess, ask for forgiveness, renounce, and confess or proclaim. I like proclaim really loud. Okay? There's where the freedom starts to come. Now things have been restored back to where I'm supposed to be. And now I've got authority to start coming against these things in order to cover my loved ones or the people that are around me. Make sense? Verse 10 again says, for the sorrow or the grief, according to God, works repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. But the grief of the world works death. For behold this same thing, you being grieved according to God, how much it fully worked earnestness in you, but also defense, but also indignation, but also fear, but also desire, but also zeal, but also vengeance. In everything you committed yourselves to be clear in the matter. This is a hard verse to understand. The key is in little words. Behold this same thing. You being grieved according to God, how much it fully worked, where's the word here? Diligence in you. Okay? How much it fully worked diligence in you. When you are grieved according to God, it puts a diligence in you. Okay? And it says, but also defense. That's the part where I was like, what? That word but in the Greek means direct opposite. Basically, it's saying, for behold this same thing, you being grieved according to God, how much it fully worked diligence in you, in direct opposite to defense, in direct opposite to indignation, in direct opposite to fear, in direct opposite to desire, in direct opposite to zeal, in direct opposite to vengeance. Meaning that if I'm truly sorrow before, if I have sorrow before God and have worked this repentance and forgiveness, the fruit of that is going to be I don't have to defend myself. When it says, but also defense, direct opposite of defense. You know that somebody has seen their sin in light of who God is by the life they live towards you. That should be the fruit of it, correct? But if I ask somebody about something or somebody comes at me and accuses me, if I'm defending, is that Jesus defending me? Shows that I haven't really repented before God. You see what I mean? I'm still defending myself. I'm not trusting him to do so. if I am truly repenting. It says, for behold this same thing, you being grieved according to God, how much it fully worked diligence in you in direct opposition to defense. You're no longer defending yourself. In direct opposition to indignation. I'm no longer responding indignant towards people. In direct opposition to fear. When somebody is accusing me, that's no longer fear that takes over in my life, but I'm standing secure in who God's created me to be and who He declares me to be. I'm no longer in fear. You can't get me to respond in fear in that place. Those are the fruits. Those are the things that will manifest if I've truly repented before God and begin to break these things off and I'm standing in a place of authority. Anybody interested in that? Yes.
Thank you.